With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code STAPLE20.
Hey, what's up, folks? Welcome to another edition of our way too early preview and breakdown of the Texas Longhorn 2024 season. We're on their week four opponent, the ULM Warhawks. Is it the Warhawks? Sorry, I might mess that up.
It is the Warhawks. That's a heck of a pull right there.
That is how nondescript ULM has been. I figured it was. I've done enough research, but I was like, man, actually, I have not actually made sure that is the mascot. So it is the Warhawks. So there you go. They'll be facing the Warhawks. And I got to tell you guys, this is interesting because they got a lot of new faces over there with ULM, starting with the head coach. Now, last time Texas played them, Terry Bowden was the head coach for them, and they ended up 10-26 in the Terry Bowden regime. And actually, he had a real nice turnaround there at one point, going from winless to, I think, like four wins. But from then on, they kind of plateaued as a program. And now they have a new head coach. Brian Vincent is now the head coach of ULM. He at one point was the OC at New Mexico, and they actually had a pretty good offense there when he was at New Mexico at a top 20 rushing attack at the time. He also spent a few years at UAB as the OC and quarterback coach there. They were averaging close to 30 points per game in one of his best years there. So he's actually offensively known as someone who's brought programs to some of their best years offensively as an offensive coordinator. I'm not sure if he's going to be calling the plays here as well as the head coach, but he's definitely bringing in a new offensive philosophy, CJ, and that's something that ULM could use a lot of because last year this was one of the worst offenses in college football.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty for ULM. It really hasn't ever been pretty for ULM. You know, they've been in the FBS level for 37 years, three winning seasons, and 2012 was the most recent of them. Of course, 2-8 a year ago. They actually started out 2-0. So it looked to me like, hey, maybe they've got something in 2023, only to finish out with an 0-8 record the remainder of the season. Hey, it hasn't been pretty, but hey, you got a brand new head coach, and he brings some creativity on the offensive side of the ball. That's exactly what you need, and we'll dive into the quarterback situation here later. But for a new quarterback or head coach to come in with a brand new quarterback, you're going to need some tricks up your sleeve, and I think you get a little bit of that with Coach Vincent, of course. You brought it up, a top 20 rushing attack at New Mexico a year ago. He went 7-6 as the interim head coach at UAB after Trent Dilfer was given the boot there as well. So he's got some coaching stones under his belt right now. He's kind of been around the block a little bit. And of course, what's interesting to me is New Mexico had a pretty solid offense a year ago, right? We've talked about a top 20 offensively in the rushing category. They are also top 15, I believe, in the red zone. So not only can they move the football, or not only could they move the football, but, kind of polar opposite of what we saw with Texas a year ago, they were finishing drives when they got into the scoring opportunities. That creativity should carry over. Now, will we see that year one? Again, I think there's a lot of work to be done at ULM to get that roster right, but he certainly has the game plan and the schematics, correct to make that jump over to ULM, where, again, they need that leg up off the field if they're going to compete with a team that's going to be superiorly more talented like the University of Texas team in 2024.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, right? They need some type of schematic advantage to try to give themselves a chance in some of these games where it's a lopsided advantage for teams when it comes to the talent on the roster. That will be the case when they face Texas, and they'll be looking for a new quarterback this offseason as well. Now, they're really excited because they got General Booty transferred in from Oklahoma. Very rarely do you get a quarterback that could be, you know, recruited by Oklahoma and play it, and obviously on that roster, who would decide to, you know, come to ULM. But that is the case. So he is a possibility to be in the starter. I believe another one of the possibilities is Hunter Herring Jr., 6'4", 228. He transferred from, I believe, Louisiana Lafayette last season. So he's another possibility. He's a second-year quarterback. So it's right now, we don't actually know who the starting quarterback is going to be. They lost their starting quarterback, Jaya Wright, last season. They pretty much lost most of their offense, too. I mean, the skill positions, it's going to be overhauled for them. They returned one starter, I believe, on the one starter returns up front on the offensive line for them. Basically, two returning starters totally on offense. They lost a lot of their skill guys. Their best receiver, Howell, he actually ended up going to the CFL, exhausting his eligibility. So they're just replacing a ton. I mean, I think they do have some pieces in the running game. They do have a really good offensive lineman, Elijah Fisher, who we can talk about. But I think, CJ, ultimately, they're going to have a tough time with a new system, new terminology, new coaching style, with new faces on offense. And maybe that's actually for the better and the greater good, considering what they were ranked last year offensively.
Yeah, you would think so, right? But again, they're going to be replacing a lot. And starting at the quarterback spot, which I think, obviously, for a team like ULM, is going to be the most important part of their program to get jump started under Coach Vincent. Only 30 career, D1 pass attempts for the two combined. You know, Hunter Herring had 30 at Louisiana Lafayette, two games that were kind of blowout situations. He did have 21 pass attempts in one of them, so he had extended series, extended looks at the Division I level. But General Booty at Oklahoma, he was not that guy. He originally out of Allen High School by way of Tyler JUCO, made the trip over to Oklahoma as well. Again, Oklahoma liked what they had with Dylan Gabriel. Obviously, Jackson Arnold took reps as well. He did not see play time for the Sooners, so there's a lot of inexperience, despite maybe some extra years at the college level right now. Again, I think you're going to see this team kind of resort more to that running game. We've talked about it at New Mexico, top 20 rushing attempt, two inexperienced quarterbacks. To me, that screams, let's just keep this game close. Let's limit possessions. Let's do what we can to stick around into the fourth quarter. And what's going to help them is being much more efficient in first quarters. Last year, they were outside of the top 100 in all of college football in terms of points per first quarter. They only averaged 3.5, Rod. That's not what you want, especially going on the road to a team like the University of Texas. If you have a slow start, you might as well pack things up at halftime and get back on a plane over to Monroe, because that's going to be very challenging. If you enter halftime with a 20, 25, 30-point deficit, you might as well, say adios. So, luckily, they do have a very talented offensive line. So, it fits what we believe to be the case of Coach Vincent's coaching style to run the ball. You mentioned Elijah Fisher. He's probably the best player on the entire team right now. So, that's a good start. Now, they'll have to replace a few guys as well, but luckily Hunter Smith is one of their best running backs as well. He comes back after a 500-yard season a year ago. I do believe that's their best case to get points on the board is the run game. So we'll see, again, with how well this Texas defense, especially up front, is able to adjust and get those guys right for a rushing attack like we'll see with Michigan in week two.
Yeah, it's also allowed them to control the game, right? We talk about the one way to beat Sark is you keep Sark offense off the field. Keep Sark on the sideline as a spectator calling plays and have your offense be able to convert and keep the football. And if you're not scoring, it'll keep you in the game. We talked about UTSA a couple of years ago, how they were able to stay in the game converting. Even Wyoming this year, right, the way they played this past season, that's kind of how you want to play. Even Washington did that against Texas, too. It doesn't happen very often, but honestly, that's the best defense you can play against a Sark offense. So I'm with you. I think Hunter Smith's going to be big for him. He's got an average over 5 yards per carry last year for him in limited time, limited action, but still showed a lot of promise and played in 12 games, didn't start any, but this will be the year I think he steps up as kind of their lead back. Elijah Fisher, he is no doubt their best offensive lineman. 6'3", over 300 from Texas, by the way, from Allen, Texas, actually. So he'll have a personal kind of vendetta there when he plays against Texas. And he's a guy that's expected to be an all-conference player for them on the offensive line. And they also got a community college transfer in, or community college, I should say, recruit in, Javon Campbell from Dodge City Community College. Just watch out because a lot of these fans, yeah. ULM fans, are excited about him. 47 receptions, 720 yards, 7 touchdowns in 2 seasons in his time there at Dodge City Community College. Over 15
he
yards.
He can go, Rod.
Yeah, they think he's a really good player.
He's got some after the catch ability there. So if there is a threat that you need to be worried about for the Texas defense, he's probably that biggest opportunity guy for the ULM offense. Of course, I'm not expecting ULM to have many options to put points on the board in this game, but he's certainly the one that I would sit back and say, all right.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
Among the jersey numbers, we got to figure out where, you know, that this fella is. Whatever number he ends up being, we got to spot him, safeties, understand where he is on the field. That's the one guy I would look at right now and say, all right, above anybody else, know where he's at on the field, and you'll be just fine defensively.
Yep, I agree with that. Other than that, offensively, that's pretty much all they bring to the table. I think actually the strength of the team may be on the defensive side of things. I think they got better players defensively, more proven commodities defensively. I think it starts – I like the defensive tackle that they have, the nose tackle. Really good player for them. Jalen Ware, I believe is his name. He was a community college transfer as well for them, but – this is a guy started every game for him once he got on campus. 54 tackles, 6 tackles for loss, fumble recovery. He's a good player, starting right at the point of attack for them at the nose. I think he's a good player. They also have at the linebacker position, Carl Glass is another good player for him. 59 tackles, 7 tackles for loss last season, 2 forced fumbles. He's a player he's from Monroe, Louisiana. He's expected to be an all-conference caliber player for them. He's a veteran, junior, been around there for a little while. Also, I think on defense, David Godsey is another player that I liked, that I saw from. 3 interceptions, tied for the team lead last year. He's from Texas, from Mansfield, Texas. Recorded an interception in 3 straight games for him. He is also a guy you can expect to make noise. So at different levels of the defense, CJ, they got some guys that can play. Different levels of defense, and I think they're hoping that overall those guys step their play up and they get a few other players maybe on the edges to make some plays. But the strength of this team may be the defense.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to say that's going to be the strength, right? They ranked 125th a year ago in points per game, just a tick under 35 points per game allowed. But, Rod, I agree with you. I think there are just too many unknowns with the offense, especially at the quarterback situation where it's a lot of inexperience. It's a brand new system. How quickly will you be able to trust that quarterback to run your system, to get everything where it needs to be offensively? To your point, I do think that defensive side of the ball has some guys, right, especially in the secondary. I think that defensive line a year ago was actually pretty good. You know,
it was.
They lost two really talented pieces up front. Kennard Skinner had 6.5 sacks. He ended up at Iowa State, actually. And then Aiden Huntington, a defensive lineman, more so on the interior, transferred over to Tulane. So that's, you know, two really important pieces from a year ago. I call them important because they were good players, maybe not so much to the team success, but they were good players nonetheless. To your point, where on the interior, he's going to be the one guy that, you know, DJ Campbell, Hayden Connor, you know, Jake Majors, they're going to have to hone in on. That will cause maybe some issues, a handful at least, whenever it comes to the ULM defense. But to your point, more so in the secondary, I actually really like what I see out of this secondary group. Carlon Vigors is actually a really talented cornerback. He's a senior, and he's going to be opposite of Deuce Mayberry, another senior cornerback. So I know that we're expected a high-flying Texas offense, and I still expect that to be the case. I'll dive into that, kind of the historical battle between Texas and ULM here in a minute. But these two cornerbacks are actually pretty talented. And so I do look at that 2-10 record a year ago for ULM and say, yeah, it wasn't great. Their defense, not great. But these two cornerbacks, I do think, are pretty talented. Vigors, especially, for a guy that Texas could have some issues with if they continue to poke at him a little bit. But at the end of the day, again, just too much speed, too much talent on the offensive side of the ball for the Texas Longhorns. I'm expecting 45, 50 points for this Texas offense. And so my point I was going to bring up, Texas has played ULM two times in history, 2009 and 2022. First time under Mack Brown in 2009, Texas won 59-20. 59 points. Faced them again, 2022, Steve Sarkisian's second year, 52-10 win. That was, of course, under Terry Bowden. So they've scored 50 each time that they've played ULM. Of course, that doesn't mean a whole lot, but we're talking about this Texas offense, Rod, like it's going to have as much firepower, especially at the wide receiver spot, as we've seen under any Texas offense in recent memory. So I'm expecting 50 points put up on this team. And again, I think it'll be a good opportunity to see some Arch Manning and a good opportunity to see some Trey Owens later on.
Yeah. I mean, this Texas offense, I mean, it may not even be an indictment on your secondary if this Texas offense comes in and lights you up a little bit. I mean, we saw that at Alabama. They had some first-round guys in that secondary, and Texas still lit them up. I mean, sometimes when Sark's dialing it up and he's filling it and Quinn is filling it, that offense can be really hard to stop. But getting back to that ULM defense, they also lost their top six tacklers from that ULM defense. So they are replacing a lot. You brought up the pieces that are leaving just via the transfer portal. But I love what you said about the secondary. I do. I think Carlon Vigors, last two, he started, I see, 23 games for them, 93 tackles, 6 PBUs, 2 forced fumbles. He's got an interception, fumble recovery. And this guy makes plays in the secondary. So you may be starting to see the strength of this this defense built from the back. The back seven with Carl Glass Jr. as their linebacker. We talked about multiple defensive backs being really good players for them. That may be the key. A couple of names to keep in mind, a JUCO transfer, Jaden Hamlin, another name to keep in mind, and also James Smith on the edge. He's a sophomore, but from what I read, people are really high on him potentially stepping up and making some plays. So I think defense is, like I said, strength is a relative term. I'm talking about strength of the team. I just think for them overall, their identity, it may be a run the football, ball control, play defense type of mentality and philosophy for them to keep them in games. And I think they may try to let that defense win them some games every now and then. They were 123rd in pass efficiency defense. So that secondary we're talking about, it's got to get a whole lot better. There's no question about that. But there's not a lot of threat from ULM. I mean, the truth is they don't have the players. Even if Texas has their worst game, ULM is going to have a hard time beating Texas. That's just the reality. I mean, honestly, Trey Owens can come in as third-string quarterback, knock on wood, and honestly, they still have a really good chance to beat ULM and beat them by, you know, a sufficient margin. Yes.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. That's the talent gap for you.
Because I'll lead this up to you because, you know, you've gone through it, you know, well more than I have. But when you have the start of conference play with Mississippi State the next week, how much are you looking ahead in terms of your schedule? You know, I don't want to call them a cupcake, but Texas is playing a non-conference leading up to Mississippi State. As a player, you know, were you ever cognizant of what's ahead of you, whether it be a marquee game like a Texas A&M or an Oklahoma? But in this case, Mississippi State, Blake Shapen, they'll be facing Texas that next week. Are you ever looking ahead saying, all right, I know what we got. Let me go out. Let me take care of business and just not get hurt.
Yeah, it's tough not to when you got a huge game. Now, Mississippi State, that may not be necessarily the game that's a huge game like that, but it happens with players, especially when you're facing somebody like ULM. You watch the film, you watch the tape, and you know, okay, this team can't play with us on their best day and on our worst day. That's the mindset that you want to battle against as a player, right? You want to focus on the process, not your opponent, the process, right? Perfecting the process every day, going to practice, focusing on the perfect rep, your technique. Where even Sark talked about this. He said, because he was asked by Greg McElroy, so how do you keep your guys from getting the big head and how do you keep your guys from losing focus? Because now everybody's talking about how good Texas is and, you know, the expectations are really high. How do you keep them from really, as Mac Brown used to put it, having the sugar on their back, being overconfident? And he said, we got to focus on us, our standard and our process. That's what you focus on. And I think when you get back to that, the process you focus on, the games are the fun part. Process is what you got to perfect. That's what you got to grind on, commit and dedicate yourself to, the everyday grind of it. And then you get to the games, it's like, the games are nothing. Because my process has been perfected. My game planning, my film prep, you know, the weight room, the training stuff, everything leads up to that game day. You're trying to build to a crescendo so you peak at the right time. So it really, yes, it is about your opponent, but ultimately it is about you and how you prepare and how you, you know, perfect the process of it. So I think that Sark was right. Yeah. That's how you guard against it.
That's really good stuff. I do think this will be a game where you'll get to see a lot of newcomers, you know, whether it be some of the freshmen, some offensive linemen that have been buried over the time of the depth chart, you'll get to see a lot of guys. And so for that reason, and we've seen it in the past, whether it be Texas Tech late in the season last year, Rod, this is a good opportunity for guys who haven't necessarily had their big moment in college yet, go out and get that. And we saw it last year, you know, that Texas bench was as happy as I've seen them, you know, react to a touchdown when Trey Wisner found the end zone. And that game was well out of contention at the time. So,
yep. No, you're right about that. I think, and as we get to wrap it up, this is a game where we should see Arch by what? Mid third quarter. Okay. That's kind of how we gauge in if Texas is, because remember that Wyoming game, Texas didn't pull away until the fourth quarter. That's kind of how you judge, hey, is Texas, you know, are they playing to a certain standard? If we see Arch in this game early on in the second half, I think Texas is indeed playing to that standard.
I think you'll always see the starting offense to start the third quarter. That's just my offensive philosophy. Then you'll start seeing you'll start seeing Arch very quickly after that.
Yeah, because you don't want the team to relax. You go into halftime, you're like, hey, first team, you're out. Then everybody relaxes a little bit. Oh, man, we got this. We're done. When everybody's still focused, you make your adjustments, they still go out. Then you make that move. I agree with you on that, CJ. That's actually a smart philosophy.
That's exactly it.
Thank you, CJ, so much. We appreciate you, brother. We know you are grinding, so thank you very much for all the nuggets and the wisdom breaking down ULM. We'll be back next week breaking down the Week 5 opponent for the Texas Longhorns. But in the meantime, for our friends over at On Texas Football, thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for listening. Until next time, hook 'em horns.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com. And get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code STAPLE20.